Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show! Everybody, welcome to AnCast. I'm Zach Barchi. My guest this week, it's Jeff Tebbets. He is the editor and curator of the Golden Anniversary blog, which is a gigantic undertaking that he's going to tell us about. And you can find it at goldenannie.blogspot.com. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start from the top. What the hell is this and why should we be looking at it?
Let's see. Do you want the long story or the long story?
Well, we got some time to kill, Jeff, so how about the long story?
basically, to describe what it is, it's, as the name would suggest, Golden Anniversary usually is for like a 50-year anniversary.
Right.
The one in particular that we are sort of celebrating with this blog is... It's something that I realized when I was in tweeting around a little bit in October. Mm-hmm. I had looked back at some of my my posts, and I came across one that said that, "Hey guys, January 1st, 2013 is the 50th anniversary of the release of Astro Boy or Tetsuo An Atom." Mm-hmm. And I sort of thought to myself a little bit, like, you know, something, if I hadn't looked back at my Twitter account and sort of rewound my own busy schedule, I would have missed this completely. And so it sort of made me sit down a little bit and just think, you know, we've got to celebrate this. We've got to celebrate the fact that such a historic anime show is going to celebrate a 50-year anniversary. And if we don't do anything big, it might pass everybody by. So I basically brainstormed a little bit to myself and thought, 50 years, about 50 weeks in a year. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we could write about each year of the 50 years since Tetsuo An Atom and maybe cover the essentials from every year? And I'm really not that art smart when it comes to maintaining a solid review schedule. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I'm going to need a lot of help with this. What I ended up doing was I posted on my own blog, you know, hey guys, I've got this great idea. Let's try to see if we can have one person review a year, cover a year of the past 50 years and pick out what they think, or using their best judgment, would be the essentials from every year. And I said, you know, if you guys want to do it, just, you know, contact me. About 1 week in, I had probably about 30 people saying, yeah, I'd love to do it. You know, let me do it. And about 2 weeks after I came up with the concept, it was full. Mm-hmm. So what we've been doing with this blog is for about maybe twice a week, we've been releasing articles from bloggers, writers, fans, podcasters, what, you know, you name it. People that have been involved either watching, writing about, reviewing, just covering anime in any angle that they can think of. And so twice a week we have people cover a year of that, these 50 years, and we're trying to go in order. So we've been doing this for the past 4 or 5 months. So we're getting pretty close towards the end. We're in our fourth decade already.
Yeah, I noticed that. I've been following this, and so originally the idea was to do it once a week, so you'd have 50 weeks of content. So mm-hmm. I guess that schedule is now 25 weeks.
Well, I looked at it myself, and I thought it would be great to do this once a week. It would give me time to think. It would give people time to submit. We could use that week maybe to put something else in there, maybe some sort of rolling historical timeline. But at the same time, I thought, you know, this might be a good idea to get it done faster than to delay things. So I tried to make it so that we could accelerate things a little bit, keep people attached. Whether or not that's a good idea or not, I'm not quite sure. I think that might come to the end when we'll decide that when we come to the end of the block.
Basically, this is an attempt to at least commemorate in some fashion the fact that 50 years of this particular medium has passed. And here's my biggest question, because I've struggled with this a little bit myself. Covering that early stuff is really hard. And, like, finding people who can talk about it from a really educated point of view, also really difficult. I would imagine that they came to you, obviously. But how quickly was, like, so you're covering, you know, 50 years. You're starting in, what would be 50 years ago?
1963, yes.
1963, yes. Okay. From the earliest part, from the mid-60s, did you immediately have volunteers for that? I would imagine you got a lot of people saying, hey, I can do the 90s, no problem, that's not an issue. Or I can do 2000, hey, you need someone for 2003 or whatever? Like, probably a ton of people ready to cover that stuff. But that, the 60s, man, that's really hard to find writers for that.
I can't quite remember exactly how quickly things filled up. I think pretty much, like you said, the 90s, the aughts and the most recent years were filled up the quickest. Mm-hmm. We did get some people who latched on to the early 60s. Charles Dunbar, who runs Study of Anime, he grabbed 63 right away. We got some old timers. Dave Merrill grabbed 1969. We actually lucked out. Miguel Douglas, who runs isugoi.com, he already wrote something about 1964, so basically he was in from the get-go as well. So it took a little time to sort of fill in all the 60s, but I actually think we filled the 60s in before we filled the 70s in.
Yeah, the 70s, yet another unscrutable decade, or inscrutable decade, rather. It's not like getting someone to write about anime from 72 is tough. It's not. It's just like a lot of that stuff. It hasn't necessarily been pirated or fan-subbed. Some of it has, but the people who actually have seen it are rare. And people who can write about it intelligently, even more rare. So that must have been a little bit of a trial, just filling out all those years.
I think that was one of the reasons, one of the additional reasons that we ended up doing this blog, is that we all know around 1963, 1965... what the essential ones were, because there really were only three or so that ran that year. Right. So basically I wanted to make it so that we could find that bridge. We could figure out what titles in the early 1970s were the ones that sort of carried the baton to your G Gundams, got you all the way past, that sort of unknown, area that no one's really explored. Whether it be releases or anything recently. So I think, like I said, the 70s were hard to fill, and I think because we were able to find people that took on that task, I'm hoping that it taught them a little bit more about what the 70s were about. And I'd love to see more companies try to grab something like that.
You mean like licensed stuff from the 70s?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know when, was it Vicky, V-I-K-I, I don't know when they came on, but as I started this project, I noticed more and more was sort of being added to their catalog, you know, Rose of Versailles and the whole Tezuka catalog. I'm hoping something like that can continue, whether it be, something through Crunchyroll, or whether it be a company that like Funimation that releases physical videos. So I'm hoping it would get people to recognize that area.
Right. Interesting. So let's go into your history a little bit as a fan and as a writer. The most recent entry on the site is by you, and it's 1993, and it mentions that 93 was the year that, in your own words here, it says, the year that you learned that anime was a thing. And I'm curious, tell us a little bit about your early history as a fan and how you came to start writing about the stuff.
Let's see. I would say going into 93, it was the year that I first went to college. And It involved going from the north all the way to the south. I moved to Georgia Tech to take classes there. And I sort of took my Marvel fandom with me. I was a big fan of X-Men comics. But at the same time, I'd sort of gotten disenfranchised with them, and I wanted to branch outside of the box. I noticed that there were a few black and white comics that were involved in some stores. So I picked up a few titles like Grandma One Half. I took a look at You're Under Arrest, some of the early stuff from both Viz and Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. And picking up that, some friends noticed that I held it, and they're like, hey, you know, these things are also animated. Would you like to see some? And so I believe one of my friends showed me Akira, and that got me caught right away. But it still didn't sink in that it was a thriving industry in Japan. So I ended up, some of my friends suggested I join an anime club of some sort. And so I ended up joining Atlanta's Anime X, that also helmed by Dave Merrill. They were showing things like Urusei Yatsura, Rose of Versailles, a few Dirty Pair movies. Mm-hmm. So really, that I would say that was the thing that got me involved in the first place. It got me to start up a club within our own college with a few guys. From that, I started to pick up magazines about anime, and that got me involved with Animerica magazine. I ended up writing for them from 96 to about 2004. Wow. And things just snowballed from there. I went to Japan for a few years to teach English. I came back. I got a master's degree in Japanese. And so since then, I've been sort of operating as a freelance translator and now sort of a professional translator. And my fandom just hasn't left me. I've been able to find titles that have gotten me more and more intrigued about things. And so that's why I do this as sort of a hobby, both my own blog and this big blog that we're doing with 50 or so people.
Right. Wow. So let's talk a little bit about your years at Animerica. So you freelanced for nearly a decade, or did you work in their offices?
Boy, I wish I could have gotten that far. Basically, it was a lot of review work. I was doing a lot of stuff with Mike Toole, Patrick Macias, Carl Horn. I never really got to meet the guys that much, but at the same time, I was able to sort of get my foot in the door. While I was in Japan, I managed to convince the editorial staff that I could also maybe do some sort of column for them. And so for about 3 years, I also wrote about what life was like being in Japan, working in Japan. And this was all before blogs, before the internet really became sort of a social forum for people.
Right.
And so every month I would send pictures. I would write about, hey, I went to this one-day con that was 4 hours long. Or I got my driver's license in Japan. And so I ended up doing that for 3 years. And then after that, stuck around until the end of the print publication. And then went on to do my own stuff after that.
Wow. Okay. So this started as a hobby, became a job, and now it's back to a hobby?
I guess you could say that. I think what I ended up doing along the way is I ended up deciding to take sort of the hobby part out of the job and make it my hobby, and then take the translation, the Japanese knowledge, and make that my job.
Right.
So I'm sort of working with a Ghostbusters vein here. I'm not crossing the streams that much.
Okay.
It's just I'm a fan in part of my time. The other time I'm a translator. And frankly, for me, I think that's pretty comfortable.
Cool. So okay. So getting back to this golden anniversary thing. What have you? It seems like there's a tremendous amount to learn here. And the thing that fascinated me about it is that it's year by year, and you're basically getting some of the best writers out there. Shockingly willing to work for free.
Well, I mean, we're all working for free, I guess, for this. I mean, it takes a lot of commitment. I'm really proud of these people.
Hey, more power to you, man. But you've got really great writers doing this stuff. Some of the most knowledgeable people in the business. I hire some of them myself. What have you learned the most about? Just off the top, like, what observation have you taken away from this project at this point that sticks out in your mind most?
I would say, one of the things I noticed pretty recently, doing my own year 1993, is that things really haven't changed in the past 20 years as much as I expected. Mm-hmm. Looking at what 93 was all about, you had your Sailor Moon, you had your Dragon Ball Z, your Yu Yu Hakusho, you had basically your Shonen Jump, and you had shows like Irresponsible Captain Tyler coming through, where shows were sort of being spawned from light novels, from novels, from written prose instead of just strictly manga. And so really looking at that, I know that our technology has changed, and so things have become much more complex. Things are released quicker. But content-wise and really what parts of the industry are dominating right now, I'd say there hasn't been a lot that's changed. And I know it's unfair because I'm looking at just the endpoints, that the middle, a lot of things, you have your ups and your downs. You have companies that go bankrupt and boom. But if you were to look at just those two points, you know, things are very similar. Looking further into the past from that, I'll have to admit as a fan that I really haven't been a big mecha person. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, you know, people don't believe it when I say it, but I haven't seen one single episode of Gundam. and I think Julie Davis from Anime America probably would kill me if she heard that. So I really never had sort of the taste of mecha. Voltron, maybe Giant Robo, that's really the extent of what I had my interest in. But now that I've looked back and I've seen just how deep the genre was back in the 70s and 80s, it really makes me want to go back and actually look at it, especially with some of the good mecha shows that have come out recently, Valrave and Gargantia. It makes me want to go out and explore what I've missed in terms of mecha.
I don't know if I would call Valrave good.
Well, it is. I did like the mecha in the first episode. I'll have to admit the content itself, I don't know. But in terms of the designs, it sort of makes me open my eyes and wonder just how complex things got back then.
Yeah. Yeah, Valrave is goofy as shit. well, that's interesting. So I guess that sort of leads into my next question, which is going back through all this other material, reading all these essays from these great writers, and discovering all this content, has it lit a fire under your fandom? Have you decided, like, I'm going to go back and revisit all this stuff I never saw and never knew about?
I think we both know it's impossible to really look at everything that's gone on in the past 50 years, but it certainly has made me, I think, more self-aware and more anxious to at least view maybe a few episodes from as many things as possible. I was sort of rattling around in my brain today, sort of jogging outside today and thinking how we could take these 50 years and apply it. I'm wondering if it would be possible to take 50 titles, one from each year, and show the first episodes consecutively at maybe a convention or what have you. So that's sort of got my wheels spinning in terms of what we can do with it. As far as what titles themselves to watch, it's hard to say. There's just so much out there that people have sort of waved and said, you know, this is great. This, you know, people should watch more of this. That I think is probably I'm probably gonna have to sit down after all of this and figure that out. I really don't think at the moment my brain is moving in so many directions at the same time that it's going to take some time to digest it.
Well, see, yeah, that's actually a really interesting idea. If you held like a screening, it wouldn't be a screening. That would be sort of an endurance run where it's we're going to show one episode from every year since 1963. So that's about 20 hours of programming, right? 20, 25 hours.
I think when it comes to something like that, it might be a good idea to sort of break it up into the 3 days, to sort of do 8-hour shifts.
Oh, God,
Sort of have your, you know, this is your first two decades worth, this is your next 15 years worth, and this is the last 15 years.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting bank of programming, and you know, if you set the I think here's how you do it. You have that screening program, but you talk over the film. You allow yourself to talk over the film. So you'd be at the front, you'd have guests come in, maybe you record this so that you can use that audio later or video later. That would be really, I think that would be really neat if you, the thing is, you would have to be willing to put in 8 hours a day over 3 days just talking over anime. Hey, yeah. That would be a little tough. But that would
I don't
be really
know if
neat.
Talking over it would be good. I don't like listening to myself talk. I don't know how people could stand listening to me talk.
Well, content, but the thing is,
it might be a good idea perhaps to use those 5 minutes while they're changing things around, sort of putting in the next tape.
Use
that as your sort of explanation point. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it would be good if you talked over it. First of all, the stuff's subtitled. And if you're just going to sit there in a room watching stuff for 8 hours, well, you know, okay, yeah, I guess that there's something to be said for the deprivation of just, like, nothing but focusing on the film, but this is supposed to be a history lesson, and it's not a very fun history lesson if you're just sort of sitting there watching an episode and there's no one talking.
Like, I think you're sort of onto something there. It might be a good thing to maybe run it with some guests that show up. If you're able to get a good cross-section of maybe not producers, but voice actors, people that have been involved in writing about these things, maybe to sort of have sort of interruptions within the 25-minute episodes, that we might be able to get something like that going.
It would be, what I'm saying is, it would be fun and cool, and you should do it. I think you should put that shit together.
You should do it, Jeff. Yes.
That's great. So now you're into the 90s, and we got some questions about this, and I'm curious too. Looking back through it, you know, there's a modest amount of comments, but you mentioned yourself that now that you're into the 90s, suddenly the traffic is way up, and a lot more people are reading it now.
I think so. I think
not that anyone is shocked by that.
But. Yeah, somebody pointed this out that. Basically, you know, they weren't expecting a lot of traffic because nobody really knows about the things in the 60s and 70s. You might get some people that are interested and some scragglers, but I'm expecting more and more people to come, especially when it gets impossible to cover everything in the year 1997. Right. You know, you'll get more opinions from people saying, hey, wait a second, that's not the best. This is the best. No, you're wrong. This is the best. I don't know what's going to happen when that happens. But if we can get some traffic from that, I think that would be great.
Has there been any consideration of, once you get into the mid-90s, anime kind of hits a saturation point in terms of production, where there's just so much shit coming out.
Right.
One article is probably not going to be adequate to cover all the major bright spots of a given year, because it was kind of a boom for about 10 years there. And we're still, like, the production hasn't really dropped that much. Like, we're still getting a shitload of anime produced every year. Has there been any thought of, okay, 97's going to be two parts, three parts. 98's going to be four parts. Like, expanding out those years and giving them the amount of space that they really need to breathe. Because one article I don't think would cover adequately, like, 98 or 99.
And this is sort of, I think, where maybe it's a good idea to start pushing out one article a week, or 1 year a week, I should say. I know one thing I was trying to think of is, it at this point, it's going to be hard, I think, to get a second person or a third person to cover the same year without having collisions.
Right.
What I would like to see is, I would like to see more people sort of, when something gets posted, maybe send in two paragraphs that explain, no, you know something, this one should get some more consideration. Sort of maybe branch out, sort of maybe target some of the bloggers that weren't able to provide input and maybe get some of their opinions. I can see how it would be hard to cover more and more as you get closer to years where there's 100 television shows that go on during the year. But at the same time, I also want to keep it so that if we mention only five of those, then people are going to have good arguments for why the other 95 should be considered.
Right. Yeah. I would imagine that this is only going to get more complicated for you as editor and curator as it goes on.
Because and that's another reason why I just didn't want to have two or three people doing the same year. If that's the case, you're going to have I'm going to have to tell, okay, this person is involving this show, you can't cover it.
Or yeah, well, that's editorial direction.
Yeah, and I just don't have the time for all of that editorial direction.
Yeah, sure, right. Yeah,
I'd love to clone myself and do it, but it's just impossible.
Yeah, you get into a place where you're like, okay, we are just doing this for funsies. It's only so many hours in a day, you know?
Yeah, I actually fainted last week when after I did one of my things, and I realized, oh, I got to stop. I got to take a week off, so.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, yeah, absolutely. And you, as well, you should. That's a lot, man.
Right.
So now you're into the 90s. What do you think is going to happen when you move into the 2000s? Do you think it's going to get, you know, dramatically more difficult, or the articles are going to get longer because it's just so much material?
I don't know. I'd like to leave that up to the people that are writing them. I know that we've got a good intersection of people that have volunteered for the later years. I know Bradley Meek, he's going to be writing one in the 2000s. Let's see. We've got Evan Minto is going to write one in the 90s. So we've got people that I think can tackle it. How complex it's going to get, I'm not quite sure. I would like to have people sort of look at it as, all right, we've crossed the halfway point. It's about time that we start picking out shows that meant something during that year. I think some people have, and this is no, I'm not trying to critique people, but I've gotten somewhere people have covered everything in that year. I don't know if you read Daryl Surratt's big epic.
I did. You know, I did take a look at it. Yeah, of course.
This three-part miniseries that he gave us. But, and he did an excellent job covering it. I want to see a little bit more selectivity. I think we can get 5-10 shows from a year that is a good cross section of what was released. I mainly because some shows you look at it and you're like, you know what, that was released last season. It was called this title. So I think as you get closer to the end of this, you're going to have people realize of this group, this genre within a genre, this title is the best.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, so these all have lengthy bylines, and you are presenting these as a series of opinion pieces. It's not necessarily intended to be a textbook on the history of anime. It's, hey, here's what happened in 1991. Here were the notable things. Here's the most notable thing, in my opinion, you know, that kind of thing. So it is editorial. It's not...
Right. And I think once you get closer to the 2000s, the 2010s, no one wants to be told what a show is about. I mean, they're going to know whether they wiki it, whether they look at it in Crunchyroll or what have you. They're going to know what these shows are about. And it just comes to a point where, okay, this show was picked because of its artistic intelligence. This show was picked because it launched this person's acting career. People can give any argument they want as long as they don't give all the arguments. That's all I think I want to say about that.
Okay, so what decade have you enjoyed reading about the most? What has been the most enjoyable experience for you during this process?
I would like to sort of give... It's going to be hard to answer that because we haven't gone through all the decades. But I would say close. The one that, you know, connected with me the most was definitely the 80s.
Right.
Just because I was able to finally figure out what year something was released and what year it sort of became, connected with the stream, especially when you see shows like Crayon Shinchan. I'm sorry, that's a bad example because that's the 90s. But you see like Sazae-san and Doraemon sort of rising over and just supervising everything as they run. And then you have Dirty Pair show up. And then you have Urusei Yatsura show up. You have Dragon Ball starting. It was interesting to sort of see that dynamic where you had the kings of the hill And then shows would pop in and pop out. And for me, that was intriguing, that there was just enough content to sort of see that interaction.
Wow. All right. Okay. So moving forward then, once this is all done, you have this assemblage of writers, you've got all this content. What next? We got a lot of questions about potentially publishing this as a book. Or, maybe using this pretty amazing assemblage of writers you've got here to do something else. What are your plans for the future?
It's something that I've gotten poked in the side a bit, not only when I started it, but when, every day, are you going to publish something? Are you going to write something about it? I really haven't been able to make up my mind. I think as a printed medium, it would have to be digitally available. I don't see this coming out as a printed book if I was to publish it, mainly because I think as a printed book, I think we'd be losing just the concept of animation. I know that we can talk about things that showed up and we can explain what happened in these shows, but one of the things that we're doing with this is we're showing opening themes, closing themes that have been shown on YouTube and sort of give people what it looks like when it's moving. I think you lose that when you print it. So that's one of the reasons why I'm sort of intimidated by wanting to print this. Mm-hmm. One of the other reasons is it would require a lot of effort from, I think, everybody else and also from all the companies involved. I would have to go to Tezuka. I would have the holder of Tezuka's stuff, the holder of Sailor Moon stuff. I'd have to go to all of these people and get just a little bit of rub for it. If I'm going to publish something, I'd want to publish it through the right veins. And I think 50 years and covering all of this material, I don't know. It's something I would have to think about. And frankly, I don't know if I have that sort of capability right now. It's hard enough to edit all this. I don't know if I could clean it up into a book.
Right. It's like, hey, this is already a huge pain in my ass. I really don't need it to get, bigger.
And I think also a lot of what I want is I want a lot of people to access the digital media. I want people to go to the blog and read it and sort of think about it from that perspective. And it would be nice to get people to open up a book and think about it as well. But I don't know. It would take, I think, a monstrous effort. And I don't know if I can do that. Well, sorry, guys.
You're doing a good thing here. I'm very impressed with it. I've been enjoying reading the entries, and I highly recommend everyone check it out every week. And it's a real history lesson in addition to being some pretty decent opinion pieces.
So. And in addition, we've got all the links to all of the bloggers, all the writers on the right-hand side of the blog. So if you read something that really, you like this person's writing style, go in and check out what they're written, because that's really where it all came from. This is all volunteering, and giving them, I think, a little bit of giving them the credit is where it should start.
All right. So we got some questions for you from Twitter.
All right.
Okay. Cowboy Dev asks, what was the watershed moment, so to speak, in your own personal anime fandom? I guess, when did it become clear to you that this stuff is special?
It's tough because there were so many times in my fandom where I had stopped. I gave in a little bit and said to myself, I got to take a break from this. But there was always a title that would sort of perk my attention up and get me back in. I would say probably the one that maybe charged me the most, I might be speaking in opinion with a lot of people, it's got to be Furikuri. At that point, I was in Japan, and a lot of what I'd seen beforehand, I was just spent on. I'd seen all of Bebop, Cowboy Bebop, I'd seen Trigun, and I was starting to come across titles that I wasn't too impressed with. Things like Handmade May, shows like that where it was dragging opinions out of me that I didn't like seeing. And in 2000, when Footy Cootie came out, it really took a different side of me. It impressed me from an artistic angle. It impressed me from a comic angle. I think from that point on, I got more and more interested in comedy in Japan. And in general, I think it also woke me up and really made me want to laugh a little bit more. I gotten too serious with Phantom, and it got me to want to just open myself up to comedy. So I would say that would be my watershed moment. It really got me back into the game.
Peter Barton 89 asks, what year, in your opinion, was the best and worst for anime production? Also, will Justin light up the night? I don't know what that means, but if you're suggesting that Justin is a firework, I will agree that he is letting his colors burn. So so that's your question then, I guess. What year? What best and worst year?
Oh boy, that's going to make my head hurt a little bit.
It's a little on the spot. Yeah.
I don't know if I could give a specific year because there have been titles that have run over, you know, a year that I really didn't like, or I was thrilled with and I went back to. So I really don't know if I could. I don't know if I could say that. I would have to say, in terms of the one that I liked, the year I liked the most might be 89.
Really?
I'd have to open that up again, but I know with 89, that was when Ranma 1/2 started. So I really, in terms of that, I really enjoyed that that anime. I think Rumiko Takahashi is a genius in terms of how to write her stories.
Wow, really?
And I think the production of things like Mermaid Saga, One Pound Gospel, those were stories that really got to me. So Ranma 1/2, even though I think people might dismiss it as being sort of mindless at times and episodic, I really enjoyed what it was all about. It thought differently about what anime was all about. And also, I think 89 also, I think, hit me the most because that was the year that Tezuka died. So seeing how the industry reacted to that immediately and within the next 2 years, I think that was something quite intriguing to perceive. And that was also Dragon Ball Z came out that year. The article that Evan Jones wrote for it was very detailed, very... it reminded me what shows in 1989 were great. Pat Labor, Yawada, Fashionable Judo Girl, shows like that. Those were ones that I remember they were closing up when I first started getting interested in it. And I'd say that's probably the year I liked the most. That was also the year that Kiki's Delivery Service came out, if I recall. So that was a lot of fun. As far as the worst year, I really couldn't tell you. Because I haven't seen all the years. I wouldn't be surprised if it was closer to the latter half of the 50 years than the first half.
Yeah.
Because there were just some shows I don't think I could really appreciate. Maybe 99, 2000, even with Footy Cootie. I think that there were shows like... I'd say I blocked it all out. I can't quite remember them all. But I would say sort of like the early 2000s, I couldn't answer that. I really don't know.
Well, you gave it a shot.
I think it's one of those things where I'm going to have to sit down, sort of look through all the pages and say, you know what, that's it. But even I don't think I'd be able to admit to anybody that it would be the year. I think I'm too proud of the medium. I'm too proud of the industry to sort of cut down on 1 year.
.04 asks, wants to know whether or not you're going to be in Anime Boston.
Yeah, Anime Boston is, I'm originally from the Boston area. So Anime Boston's sort of my hub. I usually go there and I usually work for them, in the guest relations group, but for the past year or two, I've sort of taken time off and I'm only going to be there for the first half of it. But I would love to see some people there. I know one of the things that I wanted to do is I really wanted to give them my business in that area, because Anime Boston takes place near where the bombs went off for the Boston Marathon. So I really wanted to visit some of the areas there and give them my business while maybe meeting some of the fans there.
Okay. .04 also asked whether or not Justin and I will be doing any articles. Unfortunately, no. yeah.
well, I mean, now that we're getting into areas, like you said, there are more years that have more stuff in them. You know, if people want to write about them, that's what the comment section's all about. I'm hoping people can sort of spark some conversations in there.
All right, cool. Okay. Vinny Av asks, will there be NCAP articles that look at the major movements? So sort of, right? It's kind of a good idea. Sort of like at the end of a decade, you say like, okay, here's what we take away from this.
It's something I think probably would be a good idea for after all of this. I think we're too far into this to sort of have sort of a review block. But perhaps to fill in some of the post blog depression that might set in when this is all done, it might be a good idea to have some coverage of the genres that have occurred, sort of like an overall view of the magical girl shows, the harem shows, the mecha shows, the sports shows, maybe cover something like that, where instead of looking at it year by year, we're looking at it, we're looking at it type by type, I guess. Maybe instead of looking at it where you cut downwards, you're slicing it lengthwards, I guess.
Yeah, that was kind of my point earlier in terms of like what's next, because you've assembled this whole thing, and well, it seems like a shame it would be over so quick. You know, like you've only got another couple months worth of content at this point, even on your current plan. It just seems like there's more you could do. You know,
I know that there's more I can do, but at the same time, I think there are other things that I also have in mind. Right. I don't know. I mean, it's going to, within the next month, I think I'm really going to have to think of where this is going to go.
All right. Okay. Land of Obscusion asks, which essay so far is your favorite? Well, you know what? You probably shouldn't answer that. And which one surprised you the most? That's a better question.
I can't say which one I like the most. That would be saying, you know, which one of my 50 kids do I like the best?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I don't want to call them my kids, because these are, you know, contributions from people. I'm just the editor. Mm. In terms of the one that surprised me the most, I might have to sort of go through this really quickly and maybe think a little bit. Let me think here. I would probably say maybe 81. I think that was sort of an area I wasn't expecting some good stuff to come out of. You know, you had Urusei Yatsura that year, but you also had, you know, some productions with Galaxy Express 3.9. You had a Tiger Mask, which I really liked, bits and parts of that. I would say, yeah, 81 was probably one of the surprising ones. I know Joseph Luster, who writes for Otaku USA, covered that one for us. Mm-hmm. And I think he covered some really good ones. Dr. Slump was in there, the original Go Lion. I'd say 81 might be one of the more surprising ones. I think before that, of course, 80, just because, you know, Daryl Surratt covered everything. So that was more overwhelming than surprising, I think. and outside of that, if we were to go further back, I might even say 69. I think that had some good stuff in there as well. 69 was sort of, you know, you had your Himitsu no Ako-chan, one of your first, sort of your first magical girl shows there. You had sort of your overlap of both black and white and color, anime. And to that extent, I would probably also maybe go a little bit further back to, was it 65, I would say, where the actual overlap happened with color and black and white. I would say those are the ones that surprised me the most. But you never know. We might get some even more surprising ones later on.
Okay. ABCB Tom asks, what are the single most representative anime of their decade?
Oh, boy, Tom. Oh, boy.
I don't even know where to start with this. Like, that's...
I tried writing this down because I'd seen it, and I'm like, okay, what shows can you pick out? It's hard because there are some shows that have lasted such a long time, you can't say that they're one decade or another. For the 60s, without the most obvious one, I would say Sazae-san in the 60s. That one started in 69, and it hasn't stopped since. It just because it launched so many more sort of family-oriented shows, slice-of-life shows, and also had that connection to some of the manga in before the war. Machiko Hasegawa, who wrote Sazae-san, was actually wrote stuff for the 1940s. So it was a good connection, I think. That's, if you really calculate it, that's 70 years stretch right there. If I was to say the 70s, I would probably say maybe Lupin the Third, and maybe Space Battleship Yamato, and maybe even Rose of Versailles. I would say an intersection of those three. The 80s, I would have to say, you know, even though I really haven't watched too much of it, I would probably say Mobile Suit Gundam, and maybe... I would even say Urusei Yatsura, just to sort of get that. They sort of bookended the year, the decade, I think. When you go to the 90s, I would probably say Evangelion, just for what it was. And to some extent, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT. In the 2000s, as much as I would like to say Furikuri, I would probably have to say Azumanga Daioh. Just because of how well I think it grabbed the fandom back then and how much it's affected anime nowadays. I mean, you've got a lot of shows, especially this season, where you've got Yu Yu Shiki. You know, you've got shows like Minamike. You've got a lot of shows that sort of spawn from the four-panel manga. So I would probably say that would be maybe the most influential of the 2000s. And then 2010, I would probably say a blend between Durarara and probably Madoka Magica. I would say those two really stand out. Boy, that was a tough question there, ABCD, Tom.
From Hisui RT asks, I'm sure certain trends in popularity and comments have emerged from the project. Has any year stood out as particularly popular or hated in the face of those trends?
It's hard to say because, well, we're not getting all the comments in our post that I think that we'd be able to pick out an argument. I would have to leave that question open. I don't think I could really. I don't think I could answer that one just right now. We'd have to have, I think, more opinions flying through.
So it's not done yet, and people need to comment more. So that's actually our last Twitter question that wraps us for this episode. Again, it's goldenannie.blogspot.com. Check it out. A lot of really great writers writing about every year in anime since 1963. It's really something special. I highly recommend people go take a look at it, and Jeff, can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Thank you, and if they need a Twitter handle or anything like that, they can go to the Golden Annie Twitter page, which is GOLDENANI, Golden Annie. Mm-hmm. We post all of our articles there and give links to the blog. I hope more people get interested in this, and I'd love to hear what people think about it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Jeff for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.